Okay, this blog entry is really just an announcement about something which then turns into a bit of a discussion or an argument in which Tully is involved, and luckily we actually have Tully here in the Petersham recording studio.
Let me just say that this does sort of become an argument with a friend of mine who I love and respect and who actually knows much more about such issues than I do, but we're both fairly opinionated, and so sometimes we just do sort of clash.
All right, well, that disclaimer having been made, here we go. It's called More Jelly Fun. And this was a sort of a pre-announcement for an event. The following, this is the beginning of the blog entry, the following is lifted from the Slack Sydney Ladies Artists Club website. For those of you who missed last week's jelly wrestling extravaganza, we offer you a second chance to come along. The idea cooked up by Lisa was to try and get as many ladies into the pub as possible. We reckoned this will change the entire dynamic of the event. It's a valiant demonstration of the power of audience participation. So keep next Wednesday night in your diary, ladies. Of course, men are welcome too. And this is a quote from Lisa's blog entry at the Sydney Ladies Artists Club website. It's wet, it's wild, it's the contentious gender spectacle of live jelly wrestling. Slack joins forces with Bilateral Petersham for a second round of soft porn sightseeing at the infamous Oxford Tavern. Soak up the view and the flying jelly from front row in the back room. Enjoy strip shows between rounds by consummate performers with truly impressive command of their hamstrings. But best of all, be there as we collectively effect a subtle intervention in the event dynamics and displace the primacy of the heterosexual male gaze. We're going to stack the joint with Sydney ladies, artists or otherwise. And then there's the time and place of the event.
Oh, I wish someone took a camera to it.
Oh, you're not allowed to bring a camera. That's one of the rules.
Just on the audience.
So that was the plan. This blog entry was really just to make an announcement so that we'd get people to come along to this event to stack the jelly wrestling with lots of ladies in the audience. So here's the comments that are generated by this, starting with one from Tully. Tully, how would you like to read it? Now, feel free to read your entries and then subsequently comment upon them. But read them all the way through.
Maybe I just shouldn't, because I'll just put my foot in my mouth again.
You read them all through and then we can have a discussion about it afterwards,
okay,
if you like.
Okay, do you want to... maybe you should read
Georgia's.
You should
be yourself and I'll be Georgia.
Okay. I replied, yeah, let's smash the patriarchy. But why do things by half? Shouldn't the ladies be walking around poking the eyes out of these vicious, evil, heterosexual men? I'm coming, if only to promote the degenderizing and de-heterosexualizing of the concept of the gays. Our house has been there a couple of times. They don't have a problem with a bunch of women turning up. Also, they've got the cheapest house wine out of all the locals, and they still do.
That must be terrible house wine. Now, this comment is from someone called Georgia, who later on we find out is actually a friend of Tully. But at the time, reading this, you don't know that. So Georgia says, oh, Tully, 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 so many books, well, two, that I need to lend you. Also, the last I heard, you were not a woman. You and Lucas must both read Female Chauvinist Pigs, Women and the Rise of Raunch Culture by Ariel Levy.
Which I have subsequently read, and it is a very good book.
I can lend it to you. It is also the counter-argument to Slack's idea of what is achieved when women look at women. Also, given Lucas's really spot-on account of how actually unsexy it is to see a woman going through the motions rather than really enjoying herself, I'm not sure why anyone would want to support this. So there's a few funny issues in George's remark there. Like, Slack's idea of was not really what is achieved when women look at women. It was about stacking the audience full of women to change the dynamic in the room.
But obviously there are a lot of different interpretations of whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, whether it's positive activism or negative activism, and I think she was saying that it was...
Yeah, maybe some more of these things will come out in subsequent comments. So there's another one here from Tully.
From Tully. You know, that book isn't the Bible. My old housemate Poppy read the book twice and ran me through all the arguments. Actually, not very well, because when I read it, I realised it was completely different to how I thought it was.
So you're basing this comment on someone else's reading of the book.
She was very good at explaining many things. It just happened that book wasn't one of them. Ultimately, I heard a bunch of discussion on raunch culture by women who had never really been part of a culture or anything like that described in the book. I understand that liberation is separate to excessive displays of male co-opted female chauvinism. I understand that sexuality is about needs and desires, not meaningless displays of sexual power.
So can we go back there a bit? Ultimately, I heard a bunch of discussion on raunch culture by women who had never really been part of a culture anything like that described in the book.
Yes.
So they'd never been part of this raunch culture.
Yeah.
So, but they were the ones who were describing it.
Who were describing basically what the dynamics of the culture.
Yeah, I understand that liberation is separate to excessive displays of male or co-opted female chauvinism. What do you mean by that sentence? You don't have to know.
Gosh,
you,
who knows?
How do you know?
Liberation is separate to excessive displays of male or co-opted female chauvinism. Well, this was because the main premise of female chauvinist pigs is talking about how women have become, in some parts of the US and possibly around the world, chauvinists like men about their sexuality. And so instead of having become liberated through being open about sexuality, they have become what men want them to become. And so they have internalized the chauvinism and they're trying to become men rather than become free women.
Fair enough, okay. Lots of contention in that, but go
on. Oh, yes.
So you're only halfway through your comment here.
Okay, so I understand that sexuality is about needs and desires, not meaningless displays of sexual power.
That's what you understand.
That's what I thought I understood. Going to see jelly wrestling may be meaningless for some, but it won't be for me. I'm intrigued. There'll be naked women, so I'll probably be stimulated. There will, probably, be some open-minded people there, and I don't know what that effect will be. Do you need to be a woman to talk about the male gaze? Last I heard, it was a concept as well as an experience. I've seen and experienced similar forms of female gaze towards men. There are some gender issues that women are not prepared to be pluralist about in a post-wave feminist world. That last sentence was wank.
There are some gender issues that women are not prepared to be pluralist about in a post-first wave feminist world. It's just like this comment section of this blog entry, you cannot unpack it like a text by, I don't know, Deleuze or something. You've really got to sift through that, but maybe there's no need to. Maybe Mayhem does the work for us. So Mayhem responds, oh God, and God has 3 D's on it and 4 exclamation marks. I just spent ages trying to find some great article I read 2 years ago by some ethnographer student who was doing jelly wrestling as part of her research, and I can't bloody find it. Anyway, Tully, etc. I haven't read Raunch Culture, but I have read a lot of really interesting, informative, critical, challenging, and fun research by and about female strippers and the gender politics of perv.
Perv.
There have been 2 feminist waves in my lifetime. Before that, the first one was in the 19th century. So I guess we're like post-third wave. But I'd prefer to take some pluralist position to accepting that people are curious and confused everywhere rather than labelling everything under some sort of called sort of zeitgeist. And then she follows this up with a question. Do you reckon I can get from Ryde to Petersham in under 60 minutes? obviously some sort of public transport question there, but...
Which so, you can, as, by the way. I don't know if that got answered.
That would seem to be that Mayhem sort of agreeing with you there about the idea of being having a pluralist approach to this.
I must
things.
Be right, then.
I'll follow. You can be me, if you okay. like, and then I'll continue with Georgia.
Okay. Short Left Leg, which is the pseudonym for Lucas, says, hey, Georgia, what's the second book you're going to suggest?
Georgia says, Susan Faludi's Backlash, just for good measure. I read it, having started it a couple of times recently, after reading Levy's book, and it's helpful to see what the backlash against feminism that occurs in the 80s did to prepare the soil for raunch culture. Levy's book, admittedly, is about the US, not Australia, but it's still of enormous value. I don't hold the Bible in any sort of high esteem, so I'm not sure why Tull has made that comment.
To stir shit.
Well, you made a comment about how it was... Oh, you said, no, you know, that book's not the Bible. So, yeah.
Yes.
So you guys are making cheap shots.
Yes.
It was just brilliant to find that someone had written the book I realised needed to be written when I was a first year at uni some years ago. I presume she's talking about raunch culture or backlash.
I'm not sure.
I feel that what she says in it is really urgently important. It's probably backlash.
Probably backlash because the other one wasn't made.
The next comment's by Tully.
Tully says, in capitals, with exclamation points and a smiley face, I love you, Georgia!
At which point we maybe get the idea that Tully and Georgia are friends. Were you arguing about this stuff offline as well? You were?
Oh, yeah.
So there was...
We butt heads every now and then, and still do.
So you were sort of using my blog at comments area as a way to kind of have this public argument that you
which
were
is,
also
which
having
is
offline
a
at the
very,
same time.
A very natural and normal way to use a blog, I've got to say. Just completely divergent.
So what's the difference between doing it offline and doing it online?
Do you want my view?
Yeah.
Offline, you have a lot less room for misunderstanding, I think. When you remove the facial expressions, intonation, you know, basically being able to tell if someone's being sarcastic, you can very easily offend.
So why do it online then?
Because sometimes that's the only way that you're communicating.
But in this case, you weren't, though. Like, it was almost like you were using the comments as a place to have a kind of performance, to perform a sort of dialogue between yourselves.
Well,
a Socratic dialogue.
I think a blog is sort of like a semi-public stage. You're usually aware that there is an audience, even if it's just an audience of one, when you're commenting on somebody else's blog.
Especially if the comments are live, like there's more comments keep on coming in, so you're aware that people are listening to what you might have to say.
And I mean, because this entry itself was sort of a political persuasion, it was sort of the addendum. It was our attempt to put our own political slant on the political suggestion.
Do you think when you write these comments, which are obviously of a controversial nature, you're obviously choosing to engage in a dialogue, right, where you're expecting people to disagree with you. Do you think there's ever an expectation that others might, that you might end up convincing someone of your point of view is correct, or that you might back off? And you might, what I mean to say is, like, will things ever reach a sort of consensus?
Well, I really don't know. I mean, I think probably these days I would be more interested in doing something like that. I think at this time it was almost argument for argument's sake.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Okay, well, anyway, let's continue on here. We've got a few more comments. So Lisa Del Nord writes, "Well, I've got a copy of Female Chauvinist Pigs to bring along on Wednesday night and keep this moving. Perhaps the house wine will do it some favours. It seems kind of screen..." I think she means, like, you know, have a few glasses of house wine before reading it. Yep. "It seems kind of screechy preachy at a glance. Like Tully, I'm all for open-minded and playful forays into sexual politicking and a plural practice of feminism by men and women, queer and straight, on the ground in daily life. And I doubt you could get more quotidian than the Oxford."
Quotidian?
Quotidian, every day. Well, you respond to this and you use the word quotidian, so you must have understood what it meant at the time.
Tully says, "Even better. I wondered whether I could get quotidian in the Oxford, and it suggests that we make the visits daily. How about that, then?"
I don't know what it suggests.
I think there was a link to something. Which was a referential... Well, who knows? I think I did actually look up quotidian in the Oxford Dictionary just to be...
I see. Well, this whole project, the bilateral patient project, is quotidian in that sense. D being day, and quoti every...
I would suggest that we make visits daily to do something like...
You have to learn no Latin before you can tune in. And then the final comment is from Lisa Del Nord, who just makes... You know, I won't bother reading it, but she just makes an announcement saying you should tune into the radio because there's going to be an interview about the visit to the jelly wrestling. So that all sets the scene for the jelly wrestling episode. But I think we'll leave that for when I've got Lisa with me, because it was very much... project that she was involved in. I might sign off here.